find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Energy level and health are not where they should be. Tune into Energy, Medicine, and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine. And most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
You have tuned into Energy, Medicine, and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. Energy medicine is a method of working with the body's energy systems to help create balance for optimal health and wellness. It also is a wonderful way to connect to the innate wisdom of the body, which is sort of our topic tonight. But remember, everything is energy, and energy is everywhere. Energies control how you feel, what you think, and how you live. Energy is all there is. The topic today is energy fluency. Our body is made of energies interacting in a complex and radiant exchange. Energy is also the language our body uses to communicate with itself and with the world around us. Therefore, energy medicine and all healing begins with an understanding of how to communicate with energy. Like any communication, it involves an understanding of the basic syntax of the language, the energy systems that influence and feed the body, and how they work. Beyond that baseline, though, energy fluency involves learning how to participate in the body's subtle energy dialogues. What is our body signaling with the symptoms and sensations we experience? How can we respond with sensitivity and understanding? How can we support our body, mind, spirit so that they truly thrive? Energy fluency happens when we are able to participate in co-creating the poetry that arises when our conscious mind can communicate with our physical self in alignment with our deepest truth. I am so honored and excited to be able to introduce you to Ellen Meredith. I've been trying to get her for quite a while. She is an energy medicine genius and really is able to think quite differently about energy. She is an Eden Energy Medicine advanced practitioner, a medical intuitive and conscious channel who has been in private practice for 30 years. She is an Eden Energy Medicine faculty member and is also certified in quantum healing and medical intuition. Ellen has worked extensively in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. She received a doctorate in arts in writing from the University of Michigan, winning major Hopwood Awards for a novel and short fiction. Ellen's integrative body, mind, spirit, and lifestyle healing processes offer an emphasis on awareness and self-healing. She's the author of Listening In, Dialogues with the Wiser Self, which is a book, and In Search of Radiance, Learning to Stand with Your Wiser Self, which is an audiobook, as well as four DVD courses, Energy Fluency, Energy Cairo, Gatekeeper, and Storyline Track and Balance. Ellen's work offers creative paradigms and innovative, effective tools to transform health in support of holistic body, mind, spirit healing, and well-being. You can learn more about Ellen and her work at www.ellenmeredith.com. That's www.ellenmeredith.com. Welcome, Ellen.
Well, thank you, Anne. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so excited to sort of connect with whoever's out there listening. Hi, everybody.
Well, we are so excited to hear from you and all of your, I guess, your inspiration from your guides. I know they've helped you with this, and you have been a great listener of theirs.
Yes.
So, but let's start out with talking about how you discovered energy medicine and how that has changed your life and career.
Okay. Well, it goes back over 30 years. I was a writer, and that was my plan for life, was to be a writer, maybe get famous and go on the Johnny Carson show, which is not going to happen anymore, I guess. and one day I was in my late teens, I was sitting around sort of looking for inspiration, and my dead grandmother appeared in my mind with a message. And I loved my grandmother very much, and I thought, oh, this is nice. So I wrote it down, and I was very moved by the message, and I didn't think much about it because I just assumed it was my imagination. But a few days later, I went to a little psychic fair, and it was total one of those coincidences that aren't coincidences. Someone just came to my door and said, hey, I'm going to a psychic fair. You want to go? I barely knew the person. I said, okay. And I went and sat down with the psychic, and she looked at me and she said, oh, your maternal grandmother is standing behind you, and she has a message for you. And then she repeated that same message I had gotten from my grandmother, which just was a big blowing of my mind because I'm from Michigan and we didn't do things like that then there, though I'm sure now there's a lot more interest. So I got very curious about what was this in my head, you know, was I really in touch with my dead grandmother? Was I reading, you know, was the psychic reading my mind? And I asked her, and she was very clever, you know, for a $5 psychic. She said, it's my belief system that it really is the consciousness of your dead grandmother and that you tuned into her and I did too. And so I said, well, how can I do more of this? And she said, you just need to listen. You just need to slow down and listen. So I did. Over the next few days, I wasn't that active anyway. I was a student at the time, but I started to notice these little ticker tapes in my head with letters on them, and I wrote down the letters, and they were messages from my teachers giving me instructions on how to hear them better and explaining some dreams I'd had and making some little predictions about things that were unfolding in my life. And I got hooked. It was like my own personal TV channel or something. And, you know, you asked about energy medicine, and in a way, I don't differentiate that much between what I call channeling, which is tuning into a source of wisdom, and energy medicine, because I think whenever we tune into our sources or tune into that which feeds us or that which grounds us, it is medicine. It's medicine for the heart and for the mind and the body and for all parts of us. It helps us to integrate ourselves and become more wise about how to do this body, mind, spirit thing we're doing. So that's when I discovered it. And a couple years later, my teachers, I started channeling for them every day. I called them the council, and I wrote for them and asked questions, and they answered them. And they said to me, we're going to teach you some healing. And I said, fine. I had no interest in the topic as far as I knew. But they said, here's three tools. And I wrote them down. I think one was a sheaf of wheat. I don't even remember what the three tools were. And later that day, someone knocked on my door kind of randomly. Again, someone I barely knew. And she said, you don't happen to be a healer by any chance, do you? And I said, well, come on in. I have a few tools. I had never done anything. I'd never read any books on it. I just thought, well, I've got these three tools. So she came in and she started to explain some problem she was having. And I said, okay. So I just thought, well, what are the tools? And I took them one by one and I just kind of waved them around and asked my counsel, you know, where do you want me to put them? And they kind of showed me what to do with the three tools. And at the end, I kind of looked at her and she looked at me and she said, well, thanks. I feel better. I feel good now. Thanks. That did it.
Wow.
And she left. And I don't think we ever discussed it again. And I was, I just thought, okay, I don't know what that was, but it was kind of interesting. And my life was full of a lot of synchronicities and coincidences like that. I was used to strange occurrences like that where my counsel would give me a seed or an idea. And then my whole life would be the workshop where I would experiment with, well, what does this mean for us in every day? Or what does this, this affect my life or my relationships or my understanding of what I'm trying to do here? And that was my training for 7 years. That was a very intensive daily training in, you can call it energy medicine, energy wisdom. You can call it whatever you want, really. And then at one point they said to me, you're going to learn healing. We're going to train you. You're going to be moving to California. You're going to get very sick. And in the process of healing, you will become a healer.
Wow.
And I wasn't sure how I thought felt about that, but I liked the California part. And I had been thinking about moving to California. So, you know, it wasn't like I was following someone's instructions. They were just pointing out that that was where my path was headed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I moved to the Bay Area of California. This was, oh, back in the, oh, I think it might have been early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I did end up getting very sick and was, eventually I went to a doctor because I felt so crappy. It was kind of a form of chronic fatigue. And I went to the doctor and I remember I didn't have insurance and I was so upset because it cost $80. And after her examination, she said, you have malaise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so upset. It was like, wait, I want something with a real name. Malaise just means you feel crappy. And I knew that. I knew that I felt bad. And,
yeah.
But she said, I can't help you. My tools won't help you with what you've got. But I happen to know a complementary practitioner that I can send you to. This was an MD who sent me to a complementary practitioner. And I went to see her. She was a chiropractor who also did applied kinesiology. And that was the early, early days of it when the muscle testing was just being developed. She had actually studied with a guy who developed it. And in the process of working with her, I discovered I could see energies in my own body. I could, you know, I could see something was out or wrong, and I could see which of the supplements on the shelf would fix it or would help me with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we both were blown away, you know, because I didn't know I could do that. And when I healed from that, then she asked if I would come work as a medical intuitive in her office and help her with clients that she was stuck with. And that's what launched me professionally doing energy medicine.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah. So it was not anything I planned or was trying for.
No, but you trusted all those different steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that that's true of any kind of authentic unfolding from within. Is there are plenty of signs and markers that tell us, yeah, 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 go here. Yeah, 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 try that. And you know, there's always some missteps or things that you think are going to be great and they don't work out so well. But it's a more fun way to live than making an external plan and trying to fill your resume in, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But even though the little detours that we have, they're messages or there's learning opportunities for us that we, you don't really know how, when you're going to need that lesson or what you learn from that, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's an experience that may not be so pleasant, but it does develop certain muscles in you or certain perceptions or it allows you to bring up older scars or older wounds and heal them. Because you've sort of got a fresh example and you realize, oh, that's an echo of my sister. So I'm going to work on that one.
Right. Okay. So you've been able to merge your love of writing with energy medicine. So tell us about your book, Listening In, Dialogues with a Wiser Self. That's so intriguing, that title.
Okay. So, at the same time I started working as an energy, as a medical intuitive, the first client said, do you do readings? And without thinking, I said, oh, sure. And then I realized, oops, I don't. It was too late. So I had her come over and I thought, well, I could write for her like I do with my counsel. But for some reason, I looked at her. She asked the first question and it just started flowing out. I started channeling for her. And, within a year, I was teaching at a university at the time, I was teaching creative writing, I had to decide between my writing career and the channeling because I couldn't do them both at that time. I was getting too tired. So I thought the channeling was more interesting and I jumped ship. And the book Listening In, Dialogues with the Wiser Self, came about 3 or 4 years later. It is a channeled book in the sense that I was listening to guidance as I didn't even write it. I actually channeled it live to an audience. I was living in Switzerland at the time, and I hate to confess it, but I was an illegal alien working under the table, and I had people come over and ask questions, and I just channeled for a whole group of people, and the material in that book became Listening In, Dialogues with the Wiser Self. So how I've merged my writing is two things. I write about topics of personal spiritual development and about energy medicine and healing, but also I think it colors how I approach healing. I very much see, and I'm not fully answering your question about what the book is, but I'll come back to it. I really see energy work as a dialogue. It is communication between your body self, your conscious self, and your wiser self. And in the book, Listening In, Dialogues with the Wiser Self, I talk about, having three selves that have to work together as a committee. We have the creature self, or I call it the earth elemental self, and that is your body self, the creature, you know, like your cat or dog. We have a creature self called the earth elemental, and she has certain agendas and needs and focus. Then we have what I call the talking self, and you might call that the mind or conscious self. That's the self that makes dramas, that has a personality or several personalities, that makes relationships with people, that makes plans and tries to fulfill them. It's the self that's kind of busy creating identity in the world. And then we have the self that I call the wiser self, which is, you can call it your higher self, you can call it your soul. It's the part of you that is part of the divine, that really is wise, that really knows who you are in the largest sense of the word. And at the level of the wiser self, we really are kind of collective. We really connect with other consciousnesses, other spirits into group consciousness that I call councils, because that's what my councils taught me to call them. And everybody has councils. So Listening In, Dialogues with the Wiser Self, the book, is about how to get into dialogue with your wiser self, first of all, how to really hear your inner teachers and inner truth. But also, it comes from years of listening to my counsels and my clients' counsels, how they explained this life we're living. You know, what about love and what about change and how are we constructed and how does this whole thing work? And so it's reflections on all those topics pulled together in one place, because I was getting tired of sort of saying the same things reading after reading. I thought, well, if I wrote it up in a book, then we could move on to new material.
Get it down. Yeah, let's get
yeah.
it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a writer, that's my intuition, my instinct, right, is to write it. So that's where that came from.
Well, that's beautiful. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
No matter what our age is, health deserves our utmost attention. But how do you achieve optimal wellness? Tune in to Ask Lorna Live. Your host, Lorna Vanderhaeghe, will provide research-backed solutions that will have you feeling fit and fabulous. It all comes down to hormones. We'll show you how it works with mainstream medicine along with nutritional medicine. Listen for Ask Lorna Live every Wednesday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're
listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and today we're talking to Ellen Meredith, who has written a book called Listening In, and we are just discussing about how to connect with our wiser selves and our counsels. So, Ellen, you have been focusing on integrated body, mind, and spirit, as well as lifestyle healing processes, and you have produced 4 programs so far. Energy mm-hmm. fluency, and today we're really going to focus on energy fluency, but I know you have just come out with a new program, and you're coming, I know you're coming to the New Jersey, New York area, and you're going to several other areas, and I thought this is a great opportunity for you to advertise for people to come and see you live and to hear your program.
Okay. Well, it's actually a class. It's a 2-day intensive class, and it's called Thinking Outside the Box, Energy Medicine as a Wisdom Practice. And it is kind of in line with what we were talking about earlier, that really there's not a big difference between spiritual practice and energy healing. Energy medicine, I believe, came from wisdom practices originally. And so I have taken some typical tools and insights from wisdom practices. And wisdom practices include everything from shamanism, yoga, Kabbalah, Qigong. I mean, there's lots of wisdom practices, and some focus more on meditation, and some practice more on body-mind alignment or body-mind-spirit alignment. I've taken some of those frameworks and applied them to how to think about, in particular, Eden energy medicine, because I'm teaching more or less within that realm right now. Any energy healers or energy medicine people will find this relevant. And I'm looking in that class in particular at how to ground more deeply, because grounding is a big issue for us right now. Also, how to source ourselves, how to hook up with things that really feed us and nurture us, and a couple other topics that slip my mind at the moment. But it'll be a really fun, exciting class.
Mm-hmm. So I know you're going to be in New York, New Jersey.
Oh, right. It'll be New York, New Jersey on June 15th and 16th, and Cleveland on the following weekend, June 22nd and 23rd. And the San Diego class, which is June 1st and 2nd, is already full. So if anyone's interested in this class, it does, unfortunately, for those of you who are not Eden energy medicine people, it does have a prerequisite. I've asked that people who have a year of Eden energy medicine or something equivalent, because it's an advanced class. I've been focusing my work lately on developing more advanced materials, because I think a lot of the systems and books, they give you the basics, the beginning materials, the overview, and then they don't go any further.
Right. Yeah.
And many of you out there have probably studied 2 or 3 or 4 modalities, or, you know, you have a lot of knowledge and you're looking for how to deepen it. So that's very much what I'm interested in at the moment.
Wonderful. Okay. So let's talk about energy fluency.
Okay. Energy fluency is also available on DVD. It's a 2-day or 2.5-day class that I taught 2 years ago. And it's focused on the notion that energy is a communication between your 3 selves, and it is a communication of the energy systems to you, to your conscious mind. It is a communication between the different selves and between your energy, your organs and your energy systems. And we have, if we want to do healing work, either self-healing or healing of others, we really have to be fluent in that communication that's happening. And so I give some systemization to the idea of how do we learn this language? How do we learn to communicate with the body's energies and understand what the body's energies are communicating with us? And that was my departure point for the class. Within it, I offer several kind of philosophical stances. And one is a belief I have that energy imbalance is always in service of something. In other words, if I have an owie on my knee, it can be just because I accidentally fell down and hurt my knee. I mean, there are accidents, but it serves some purpose. If it doesn't, the knee heals very quickly, and that's the end of it. So when we have health challenges, when we have chronic issues, it's in service of something. It's trying to flag something to us, and we're not getting the message.
Right, right. So it has to speak in a louder voice.
Yes, and what I used to teach, and I still believe, although I don't think I mentioned it in the energy fluency class, maybe I did, I said a lot there, is that there's different levels of flags. So at the very beginning, the body might signal very quietly. It might be like an itch somewhere, or it might be a slight twinge, or you know, you wake up with a sore neck, or you trip and you kind of pull something, but it's not too severe. That's the first level of communication. And if we don't understand we're being communicated with, and we don't respond appropriately by looking at what's needed, you know, it might just be more sleep or better nutrition or doing our eat an energy medicine 5-minute routine, whatever it is that we need in order to regroup. If we don't do that, the next level gets a little louder, and it's things like catching cold or you know, cutting ourselves accidentally, or having an appointment fall through that was somewhat important, or you know, it's just the next level of severity. And it progresses. If we keep getting those signals and we aren't able to understand them or respond, it just snowballs deeper and deeper. So the third level is chronic illness, and the fourth level is, or it can be an acute episode, like a, you know, your appendix bursting or something like that at the third level of flagging. And then at the fourth level, it gets to life and lifestyle threatening illnesses, things that really interrupt your life seriously. You have to quit your job. You have to, you know, you have to deal with lots of Western medicine testing for it, because it might be, you know, you're looking at cancer threats and those kinds of events that are a system that's really at that point in extremis, you know, is really upset or really not connecting, not working, not getting what it needs, not in balance. And, you know, hopefully we get better and better at hearing the communications and responding to them with energy intervention. The energy systems, for the most part, don't really understand English. Or French or German, you know. I haven't tried them on Sanskrit, but they really do tend to speak their own energy language, which is a language of touch, of gesture, of polarities and electromagnetics, of, you know, we use tapping, we use tracing or swirling the hand, you know, what they call magnetic healing. All of those things help energies to move and are part of the vocabulary we use when we're communicating with our energy systems.
Right. And so how you instruct on this DVD set is how to be sensitive to these messages.
Right. And then what are some simple exercises or responses you can make when you kind of get the message?
Right.
When you hear what the body is trying to say. And I offer in the DVDs or in the class what I call 10 energy goals. And they are grouped into four categories. One is, can I launch into that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Detail? Okay, so looking at whether your energies are moving as they're designed to move. And any of you out there, if you've looked at Donna Eden's work at the five-minute routine or the daily energy routine, which you can find easily online, or if you've taken yoga or Tai Chi. All of those systems look at how our energy is supposed to move and how can we support that.
Mm-hmm.
The next category is how do we maintain the sanctity of the self? I mean, there's me and there's not me. And the energies that are true for me are you know, have to be kept within an aura or within a kind of dynamic exchange. If I don't have that dynamic exchange, if your energies can come along and trump mine and tell my body what to do, then I don't have any immunity. I mean, and that's essentially what you see in AIDS or illnesses that are immune system deficiencies, where the sanctity of the self is really disturbed.
Compromised.
The next category that I deal with is nourishment. What feeds the body, and how do we release what is no longer necessary? You know, that vital exchange we have with the universe, where we take in food, we pull the nutrients out of it, and we poop out the rest. I hope I'm allowed to say that on the radio.
Yes, you can.
Okay. And, you know, that exchange, and we have it with our breath too. We bring the breath in, we extract the oxygen, and we release the carbon dioxide. Right. And so that exchange we have with the universe is part of that nourishment, but we have it with activities. We have it with relationships as well. We take in what the person has to offer. We extract the nourishment for ourselves, and we release what isn't necessary to us, unless we're really codependent, in which case we hang on to everything and we have a problem with nourishment with that whole area.
Yes, and if we're already filled up, we can't take anything else in.
That's absolutely right. So that's part of the issue with the whole nourishment thing. I can go back to each of them and talk a little deeper about some of the energy goals within them if you want. The fourth area that I look at in there is what I call changing the habit field. 85% of what we do is autopilot, according to Bruce Lipton, and I believe him. You know, only about 15% of what I do in a day is conscious choice. So when I breathe in and out, I'm not thinking, breathe, release. You know, that would be very nerve-wracking. And when I, you know, the example everyone uses, when I get on the bicycle, I don't have to go to it as a total beginner every time and think, now, how do I balance? How do I steer? How do I do this? Because my autopilot has learned all of that.
Mm.
And so, you know, I call the autopilot the gatekeeper. It has two roles. It's your immune system, so it keeps the gates of the self. It says what can come in and what has to stay out. But it also is the keeper of the autopilot programs that we store throughout our energy systems, not just in our brain, but also in our chakras, in our body memory, and other places in our energy field. And if we want to change habits, including chronic illness, we have to learn how to change the habit field and create what I call a new normal, a new way of being that is the go-to program of your autopilot when you're not thinking about what you're doing. So the class focuses in on each of those areas and talks about both Eden energy medicine tools that support the goals. For example, in energies moving as they're designed to move, we have three goals: opening, interconnection or coherence, and flow. So if we want energies to move as they're designed to move, there has to be room for them. As you said, there has to be room for energy to come in. There has to be room in the meridians for energies to circulate. There has to be room in the chakras for the energies to distribute in and out from the field into the body and back again. And if not, you know, if you've got too much old baggage and old furniture in there and you're too clogged, then you get some really sometimes comical and sometimes not so funny miscommunications that can lead to not feeling very well or being ill or being seriously ill, depending on how severe the blockage is.
Right. And really stuck in your life. I think this is an example of being stuck and not moving, not being able to move forward.
Yes. And that's a really good point you're bringing up there, because when I talk about energy medicine, I believe that all of life is energy. I mean, our bodies are made up of energy. There's a bunch of energy exchanges happening to create the body that is Anne or the body that is Ellen. And there's energy exchanges between different people's energy fields and with the world at large. So if I'm doing energy medicine, I have to be able to do it not only on my physical body where I may be feeling symptoms, or the symptoms may not even be in my body. They may be in my mind. They may be in my life. You know, the third time you lock yourself out of your car in a week, you need some energy medicine to look at what is that isn't flowing there around you, your key, and your car.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and how can we make harmony between the elements that need to be harmonized so that you don't lock yourself out of your car a fourth time, or that you get the message of what is it that this, you know, I'm kind of rejecting the vehicle, or I'm rejecting traveling that quickly, or whatever is symbolically being signaled to us. Because really the level of the wiser self and the level of the body of the physical self, they work very much in symbol and metaphor. And when we try to translate it into cognitive thought and English and linear statements, we often miss the three-dimensionality and richness of the image and metaphor. So part of energy medicine is getting very good with image and metaphor.
Mm.
And, of course, that brings me back to how does that connect with writing? Well, everything you do as in the arts is part of a spiritual practice, because art and spirituality are flip sides of the same coin, mm-hmm. because they develop your ability to work in the symbolic realm.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on 7th Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio. Because shift happens.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we are talking to Ellen Meredith about energy fluency. Now, maybe you want to say a little bit more about how we need to have some energy connections within our body and how that's important for communication.
Yeah, that's part of that notion that energies have to move as they're designed to move if we want to be healthy and have well-being. Interconnection is that the top has to talk to the bottom, and the left has to talk to the right, and the front has to talk to the back, and the different meridians have to hook up and be able to communicate, and the chakras need to be talking with each other. You know, I call it coherence, but it really reflects the Donna Eden's 5-minute routine or daily energy routine, or at least that's an excellent resource for people out there if they don't know about it. I think you can find out about it at DonnaEden.com.
Mm-hmm. Or in her book, Energy Medicine.
In her book, Energy Medicine is a good place to look, because she offers some baseline exercises for that. And I just take it a little further with some extra baseline exercises for that. And then I also talk in that part of the class about flow. And you mentioned flow in your life. It's flow in your body, flow in your spirit, flow in your mind, flow in your life, and flow in the artistic expression. There's something I want to say. I don't quite know how to say it, but I do know how to say it, actually. I really see us as, you know, just like we have three selves, the instrument, like the musical instrument, is the earth elemental self, and we have to be able to play that instrument. And so so the talking self is the musician that plays that instrument. And the music we play on the instrument is the music of our wiser self. It's the music of the soul. Mm-hmm. And it's bringing those three together to play the music of who you are on the body of yourself with a mind that really supports that triad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true flow. It's not just walking around in drapey gowns or something. It's different for each person, because each person's deeper self or soul's mission is unique and individual to them. So for somebody, you know, doing one thing every 3 years is a perfectly appropriate amount of work. And for someone else, they have to do 25 things a day that are expressions of this inner urging that comes from the deepest levels. So I think flow is not just about getting flowy, but aligning with the kind of river or body of water you are.
Right. Yeah. And your rhythm.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I see it as the rhythm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the soul, so one aspect, and I may be getting off track a little bit, but you make a very good point about the metaphors of symbols or shapes. We talk about shapes and how your body or your energies actually respond very well to certain shapes.
Yes.
And one of them is the heart.
Yes, yes. And I'm not the only person who has pointed this out,
yeah.
But the heart shape is something that's pretty universal among cultures. And I know Donna Eden has spoken about this too. But I found that you can draw hearts on the body, and it does bring healing energy. You can draw diamonds on the body, and it brings another kind of healing energy. Sometimes if your life is full of chaos and unstructured, draw squares everywhere on your body and draw them on your life as well. Picture your life. Make a bunch of pictures either in your mind or draw them on a piece of paper, and then start framing them and enjoy making the frames. And as you frame them, you know, not in a conscious way of, oh, this frame stands for this, but in a symbolic way, you are actually healing that energy disorganization and helping to sort through the chaos on an energetic level.
Mm. And then figure eights, of course, if your energies need to be crossing over, the more figure
yes.
eights you can draw and yeah.
Yes. And the first figure eight that I was ever taught by my teachers years, years, years ago was the figure eight that goes from the wiser self. It crosses at the conscious, at your body, at the conscious self, and it goes out into the world as actions, ideas, and contributions. And it comes back and crosses at the self again and goes back and dips into your source. So we are at the center of a beautiful figure eight of consciousness knowing itself into the physical realm, and then taking sort of an extract of that experience back into source again. It's a real mutual relationship that happens. That's the original figure eight. So when we are figure eighting on or around our body to help heal it, we're reawakening that larger picture of who we are and what we're doing here. And it becomes much easier then to see where the blockages are or where we're off track and not in alignment with that larger movement.
So, and I see that the figure eight also in that context can be used to balance those three selves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful way to balance the three selves. Just figure eight from source through your body, out into the world, bring it around and back. You can do it right through your heart or through your solar plexus or your second chakra, all or through each chakra even. And you just figure eight it back and take it back into source again and just keep it going. It's a wonderful renewal, and it is a great way to align with deeper knowing, especially if you're the kind of person who thinks you ought to be meditating, but you don't have the kind of personality or nervous system that allows you to do that very often.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's another form of meditation, but it's an energy medicine that serves the same purpose as meditation.
Right. And it can also be used as a communication.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That you want this balance.
Yes, and communication in both ways, because as you do it, you will be able to feel which parts of the figure eight go easily and which parts are hard to, you know, harder and don't move as easily. And it will tell you, oh, I'm having trouble getting the energy out of the body into the world, or, oh, I'm having trouble going back from my body into source again.
Hmm. Beautiful. Wow.
And so it's a little self-diagnosis of where problems really sit in that flow from self to, from bigger self, self with a capital S, into little personal self, out to self as world, or world as one.
Okay. So now we're talking about self. Let's talk about the sanctity of the self.
Okay. I love that phrase, sanctity of the self. Because, you know, it's not about selfishness. It's about being centered in this instrument, playing this music in this lifetime or in all your lifetimes. It has to do with its, with being able to, create boundaries and create, a self that has its own purpose, and that isn't separate from others. It's in interaction with others. But I know that in a lot of spiritual traditions, or at least in New Age spiritual traditions, there's a lot of pressure to become selfless. And I don't think that's where we want to head. I think we want a self that is so flexible that we can embrace all experience and have compassion. But to be selfless means to have no boundaries. And to have no boundaries, first of all, is really hard on the body. It, you know, a lot of autoimmune illnesses come from boundary issues. So it's not about not, when Buddha, this literature talks about the no self. It isn't about abandoning this self that you have, but having it be so fluid and fluent that it's not the point. You know, you can move through it to balanced interaction with the world. So sanctity of the self includes the three energy goals of grounding, mm-hmm. protection, and communication. And again, we can't have a self and define it unless we can ground it in something, and we have some boundaries, and we have I don't think of them as shields. I think of them as filters.
Yes.
Because we very rarely have shields. I mean,
right.
You know, they're filters and screens that say this energy should come in and is healthy for me. And this energy could just bounce off and go elsewhere. I don't need it. And so I teach some things about filters. And I can actually teach a quick one that's kind of fun if you'd like.
Oh, yeah, that'd be perfect. Absolutely.
Yeah, I call it the smart filter.
Mm.
And, you know, it builds on Donna Eden's idea that we have to have our aura sewn together. She teaches an exercise called the Celtic Weave that really helps to reconstitute the aura.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I noticed as I was working with clients is that they were still getting zapped. They would go to the grocery store and somebody in the next aisle would be thinking nasty thoughts about something else. And, you know, the person that, you know, my client would be getting zapped by other people's energies really easily. And so I realized that at the edge of this, the edge of the aura, at the edge of the seventh layer of the aura,
mm-hmm.
is a big filter. And I call it a smart filter because it decides what comes in and what stays out,
mm-hmm.
what is helpful and what is not helpful. And you don't have to know exactly where the edge of your aura is. You can just imagine it, but you just gently figure eight between you and not you. So you go, you figure eight at the edge of the aura towards and away from the body, and the little figure eights all over the aura. And this can take a while. So instead of doing it all yourself, you can call on help helpers. I usually invite people to invite fairies or elves or, you know, maybe even Santa's elves because they don't work most of the year. Well, maybe I don't know, but they might be available. But you can invite whoever you want to help you reinforce that edge of the aura, your smart filter. And then when I show people how to do this in a demo, I show them how before I can stand way far away and think nasty thoughts and their energy systems
lose energy,
go weak when I'm energy testing them, or, you know, they lose energy. Afterwards, I can stand right next to them and think even worse thoughts, and they're perfectly strong. They're not vulnerable because the smart filter not only protects the edge of the aura, but it sucks out anything that is not in your highest purpose. Mm-hmm. So you can just figure out the edge of your aura and then fill it with a color. Just choose whatever color you want except white.
Yeah.
And I don't recommend white because that's what, lost souls head towards the white light. So when we surround ourselves with white light, we're kind of a big beacon for lost souls to come and affix themselves to. And we don't really want to have a lot of hitchhikers. Put a little tint in it. Even when you're meditating, you want white light, fine, but put a little tint in it so that it really serves the purpose. And you can use any color you want. It's like an outfit. You can change it however often you want. But it's a lovely exercise for protection. You're still very permeable, but you have that smart filter really making better decisions about what energy should and shouldn't be hitting you. Mm. It's great for when you're sensitive to electrical stuff. It's helpful when you've done other aura work and it's not holding. And sometimes when you find yourself going into panic or freak out, it's a wonderful exercise to keep you calm, because if we feel protected, we tend to feel less panicked.
Absolutely. We need to feel in control.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we have only a few minutes left, but let's go back to nourishment, because I think that, you know, once we're have our smart filters all aligned and working for us, then we can nourish ourselves in very specific ways.
Yes, and the three energy goals that I teach in that topic are metabolizing, release, and sourcing. And metabolizing is not just about metabolizing food, although many of your listeners will be familiar with the search for the supplements that will help them metabolize food.
Mm-hmm.
It's about metabolizing everything, metabolizing experience, metabolizing thoughts, metabolizing in energy that comes at you.
Mm-hmm.
Et cetera. And then, you know, that's a pair with release, because we can't take in if we can't let go. So I usually actually teach exercises for release first and then come in with exercises for metabolizing or taking in. And then a closed system. We have to source. We really have to be plugged into something that feeds us with radiant energy, with fresh energy. And that's called sourcing. I teach them exercises that allow people to do that as well. But really, you don't need an exercise. Whatever you know feeds you. So if you just shut your eyes and imagine a color that feels like it feeds you right now, and just imagine yourself swimming in a bath of that color and just floating there, and the color is holding you and rocking you and surrounding you, and it's just so filling your field, that's a form of sourcing.
Mm.
I mean, life is full of energy medicine. It's ironic. Many of us have been studying energy modalities so that we could be very skilled with speaking with the energy system, speaking with meridians and chakras and the aura and all the other energy systems. And so we've kind of stepped away from life, and now we do these energy medicine things in these clinical offices. And yet we have to remember that all of life is energy, and all of energy medicine is life. So really,
wow.
if someone is feeling, like their life is a mess, for certain people, ironing is energy medicine, because ironing the wrinkles out will work for some people to really clear that energy field. And for someone else, getting in the pool and swimming is energy medicine to get them back in the flow.
Right.
And you just have to think about, what do I need here? Do I need opening, interconnection, flow, grounding, protection, communication, metabolize and release, sourcing, new normal? What do I need? And what in my life can I do that might give me that? What gives me protection? Maybe wrapping up in a blanket and hiding there and imagining it's my magic cape for 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful.
You could just make it up.
Right. And the example of somebody on the tape or your DVD program, somebody had some issue around her throat.
Uh-huh.
And then she picked up a scarf of a particular color. And that, and you tested her before she put that on and afterwards, and she was weak, then she was strong just by putting that around her throat. And I thought that was amazing.
Right, right. Yeah,
yeah,
I call that.
Yeah, she had a whole lot of things. You put a whole lot of things on the floor. She could pick anything, and that's what she went for. And look what she knew. Like, her body was sending her a message. That's what you need. She puts it on, and maybe it was the color or maybe the fact that it was just around her neck for that comfort and stability and security. But just beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I call that lifestyle medicine. And you know how in nature, every time we find a poison growing in nature, the antidote is supposed to be somewhere growing nearby.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the lore. Well, I believe with energy, the same thing is true, that wherever we have an energy problem or need or imbalance, the antidote to that is somewhere in our environment. We can find something around us or in our mind that will be the antidote to that. So you can assemble a bunch of objects from around the house and let that be your healing tools for the day and say, okay, what am I drawn to and where do I want to apply it? And bring it right to the part of your body that feels like it needs whatever energy is symbolically embodied in that object.
Right.
And
or
activity.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much, Ellen.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, this is really brilliant. So we're going to have Ellen come back because she's got a lot more programs and a lot more wisdom to share with us. So thank you very much. You can learn more about Ellen at visit http://www.ellenmeredith.com, ellenmeredith.com. I highly recommend her programs, and you will really learn amazing, and her book too, and her audio book too. And you can learn more about me at www.energizeforjoy.com. Thank you, and live radiantly.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.